Now, so what you call your child, therefore, is a reflection of what you believe. God told the children of Israel, okay, circumcise your children on the 8th day. An 8-day-old child cannot make a covenant. But if you do not circumcise your child, what happens is that you have broken covenant with God. And I hope you have learned it. That was why God wanted to kill Moses. And that's why Moses' life was saved when his wife rushed and circumcised their son. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when I give my children names, I am reflecting what I believe. One, as I walk with God, and two, what their lives will become like. You're getting the point I'm making. So like Ken Hagin will say, I will decree. Now, get this point. It is not a description of what was. It's a deciding of what will be. Now, I think there was one portion of the scriptures we read which will explain it to us again. Go to the book of Genesis and let's look at when we're talking about prophecy. I think we discussed this. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. And let's look at what blessing or what words that Jacob spoke to his children. Verse 1, he said, then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come. Now what I want to emphasize is verse 3. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. That's the way things are currently. He said, my might and the beginning of my strength. That's the way things are currently. That's the way things have been. Alright? He said, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. That's the way things are at this point. Uncontrolled as water, you shall not have preeminence. That's the way things will be. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, he was telling him what will become, which was not a product of what has been. Because if it were, you will notice that he said, you are the beginning of my strength, my might, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. He said, but you shall not have preeminence. Meaning that the words that I'm speaking will decide where you will go to. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that was what Jacob did to all his sons. Therefore, when as a child of God, as a person of understanding, that is what I do to my children also. I tell them what they will become like. Now, I don't cause them like this. I mean, I give them blessing. You know what I'm going to say? For example, anytime my little boy does something that is wrong, and I give him a spanking, now, you know, there are things that never come out from my mouth. Listen. Now, check it. If you ever catch me doing this, I will dash you 50,000 naira. Now, listen. If you ever hear me tell my child, I will kill you. If you catch me one day, just know I owe you 50,000 bucks. Just bring this tape and play it in my ear that I promised. You know what? Because I will never say it. This child, I will injure you one day. I don't say that. God knows there are things that don't fall from my mouth. This boy, you are very stupid. No. It will never come from my mouth. You are a fool, not to a child of mine. It will never happen. You will never amount to anything. No, that one, may God remove my teeth the day I say it. I don't even have to owe you money. Do you know what I say? When my little boy does something that is wrong, and I give him, no matter how trivial the beating is, he knows it's a sign of discipline, you understand? So I said, you are not supposed to go here and go and take that thing so that it will break. Do you understand? He said, yes. Now, you know you are a good boy. Do you understand? Yes. Say after me, Akinlu is a good boy. He tell you, Akinlu is a good boy. I said, now, good. Hug for daddy, then gives me a hug. Now, spanking does not determine his destiny. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't spoil it. But those words, now get my point, the boy is 2 years old. I don't know, he can repeat his talk. If you hear him talk now, you won't believe it. I said, you are a good boy. Do you understand? He'll tell you, he'll nod, yes. You behave properly. Do you get the point? Says yes. Now you will not go there and do this again. Yes. Anything I say, he says, yes. Are you a good boy? Yes. When he's old enough, I will teach him, are you a bad boy? So he can say, no. That after I have taught him that he's not a bad boy. But parents make that mistake all the time. Listen, You keep telling your child he will amount to nothing. Let me tell you the truth. Until God sends a spiritual person, that is a higher force than you, to tell that person he will amount to something, he will amount to nothing. Are you getting my point? There was something that Don Odunze Jr. was sharing at my church last week, and it impressed me. I always knew you should do that, but the explanation he gave, that was the day I understood it. He said, if you have a daughter or a sister, and she dresses up fine, you know, make her hair very nice, like this is your hair now, you know. He said, as soon as you see, he said, tell the person, you are looking very fine. He said, start it from when they are very young. He said, that way, nobody can flatter them outside. He said, but they get carried away when one non-entity boy says it, because they have never heard it. Daddy never said it. Her brother has never said it. So she feels that this guy must be exceptionally good. You get what I'm saying? Words, listen to me. They are not just, you know, we look at them on the realm of the psychologic realm. You know, like, they tell you that when you speak, you build up a child's self-esteem. That is true. But what I'm saying is beyond that. We're talking about what? The power of the Spirit. That is, I tell my son, it will be well with you. I say, you, everywhere you go in life, you will be the head and not the tail. You know, I've told you before, Solomon was not a, in quotes, person on his own. He was an extension of God's blessing on David. See Solomon that you saw? Everything that happened to him from when he was young till he became the wisest king and all that was an extension of what my father used to say to me. He would tell you, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. When I was a child, my father said that is the Solomon you saw was a manifestation of the words of David as he learned wisdom working with God over the years. His earlier sons did not partake of it. But having learned all these things, from when Solomon was small, he began to pour those words into him. And until those words were exhausted, Solomon couldn't go down. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, the words are not just psychologic tunings. They are not the charge you give to the soul of the child alone. But by those words, you are dictating how he will be. You know, my kids are still very, very small. But I know how intelligent they are. Do you get my point? IQ, the highest possible for man. Any class they go to, get me. Nobody can beat them. If you get one mark above him, he won't be an envious person. It's just that he understands that, so that mark is obtainable. So you obtain it to next time. Because before he didn't obtain it, because he didn't think it was obtainable. But as per being the head and not the tail, it's a word that I dropped even before they were born. Are you getting my point? The power of words. Listen, it's not just with your child. Now let me say this again. Remember this issue of Reuben. Jacob described where he was coming from, but he said the words that I'm speaking will decide where you are going. God told Isaiah, go and tell intelligent people that you people don't know anything, and they won't know anything. No, are you following what I'm trying to say? You know, somebody told this is the psychological realm, but you see, it's a reflection of the spiritual one. Somebody was telling me the other day about a study that was done, and they told some teachers that we are going to give you the best students to coach. And they told some students we are going to give you the best. No, they told the students, the teachers, we are going to give you the best students to coach. So they coached the students, and the students, when they tested them, were the best they were. Interestingly enough, the truth was that the students were the worst students and the teachers were the worst teachers in the school. But what happened was that they told the teachers that these students are very good, and they told the students that these teachers are very good. So the two of them came in feeling like, man, these people are good. So they got ready to tackle good people. At the end of the day, I mean, the teacher came performing his best. The student came expecting to be taught. And at the end of the day, the students came out to be the best. Later on, they found out that indeed, they were the worst of the students, and these teachers were the worst of the teachers. That is, what people expect, you understand my point, affects the way they behave. But let me tell you what, beyond that, is the spiritual force that's over their head that is moving them. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is when you tell somebody that you have authority over, that in all that you will do, you will prosper. Listen to me, that person will prosper. I told you before that when Rebecca, before she left her father's house, they blessed her immensely, and for 20 years she did not conceive. Then one day, the Bible said that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake, and instantly she conceived. I said, that is the blessing that her father gave her. Well, her father wasn't there, but her brothers and her family, they were inferior to that of her husband. This was the man that now had the authority in his hands. But the man didn't give it to her. He just assumed that everything will go walk hunky-dory. After all, God had promised to my father Abraham. God said, there is something you will do to activate the promise. Don't forget that James said that the ship is beaten by waves, by wind. That is, there are spiritual forces moving it. But how do you want those spiritual forces to move? You dictate it by the tongue. That is why you have heard me say it again and again. I can never be an average person. You understand what I'm saying? It is now too late for averageness to even relate with me. You understand? Is there a word like average? I don't know. But mediocrity is not my portion. Do you understand my point? Now get this clear. That is, people, when they speak out of conviction. There are people who act. They have told themselves, as long as I'm in Enugu, I can never prosper. And the prosperity in Enugu listens to them, and they can never prosper. The Bible said, don't say before the angel of God is an error. That is, watch your words. The angels are going around hearing them. When it comes to my life, I told you this, I think I've used this as an illustration again and again. One day I held a stick, and I bent over it, and I was walking. It was a short stick, I was just playing. And somebody said, duck at 60. I'm supposed to be the duck, you know. Person called me duck. I said, you know, instantly, I straightened my back, faced the lady. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle's. I can never bend. The angels of arthritis, they heard that one. The demons of arthritis, they heard it. The angels that carry divine healing, they heard it. My bones heard it. My flesh heard it. All the muscles on my back heard it. They know bending is not their portion. No, the only bend I will bend in this life to bend down to pick something. And I'll straighten up immediately after again. As for bend from arthritis, it will never happen. On the surface of this earth, it won't happen. Get me, there is no story. You can come and check my HLA that I have B27. For those of you who study medicine, they'll tell you that you have a 1,000 times normal predisposition to develop that disease that bent that woman over all those years that Jesus lost on the Sabbath day. Unfortunately for the HLA, Jesus has already healed me before it came. Are you getting my point? Because the Bible said if the body is subject to death because of sin, we know that the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. That's what we call the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. No, that's not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying even though the body is subject to death, that's a consequence of sin. That is, if they tested your genes and they tell you have this particular kind of gene and you are predisposed to hypertension, diabetes, this, gout, and when they finish speaking, tell them that is the flesh because of sin. Unfortunately, the spirit is constantly giving it life because of righteousness. Paul was saying that, do our outward man. You know, we don't understand what Paul is saying. We misrepresent him. What he was saying, that our outward man encounters decay. He said, but from inside, the spirit renews it every day, day by day. That is why you stone him when you finish. That is decay. He gets up again and walks back to the city. That is the spirit renewing it. Listen. There's something Paul said. He said, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say, what's the point I'm making? I will just go, don't go around yakking and saying anything we like. But we speak according, Hebrews chapter 12. 13, sorry. He said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Verse 5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What I'm saying is this. The angels, the Bible said, they hearken unto the voice of the word of God. Meaning that if I speak, and I want them to respond, I speak according to the law, I speak according to the testimony. Do you get what I'm trying to make? That is, anytime I encounter something, my response must be, what has God said about the situation? Like Jesus told the disciples towards the end of Luke. He said, after the resurrection, he said, remember, I told you, all these things you have seen were the things I told you must happen, that the prophecies of the prophet must be fulfilled. Notice this thing. The prophets prophesied. Then Jesus said that these things must happen. And the disciples would comment that it might be written that which was... that it might be fulfilled that which was written. And that's the way my life is. That's the way your life is. That is, you speak according to that which is written. He said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It is written, so I declare, I can never die young. That is, all the bullets that were preparing to kill me today, they just failed. Listen, spiritual things are real though. And they are controlled spiritually. That is, they control the things that are on the surface of the earth. And you can affect those things that are in the realm of the spirit. I've told you, there is nothing on this earth that's an accident. Nobody dies by accident. He said he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You did not know it was the wrong place until the wrong thing happened. So you cannot, I've told you before, Christianity is not psychology. It's not winding people up and teaching them methods of playing safe. That's not the idea. The idea is to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but that they are mighty through God. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That you cannot tell a man, make sure you are not in the right, wrong place at the wrong time. How do you knock the wrong place until the wrong thing has happened? How do you know the wrong time if something wrong never happens? If a man was outside in front of his house at 12 midnight and a thief shot him and killed him, you say, well, what was he doing outside at 12 midnight? But if at that 12 midnight he encountered a man in trouble who rewarded him with $1 million, you say, the front of his house must be blessed. You get my point. That is, you judge the appropriateness of what happened by the consequences. You understand what I'm saying? That is why you must recognize and learn how to walk and affect positively the things in the realm of the spirit. That's why we are saying this thing that we are saying. Words, they are very powerful. What, every day you go around, people say all kinds of things. And I hear all the time, people say, you know, we the masses. I say, you the masses. There are words, if you ever hear me say it, I owe you 100,000 naira. That if you can quote, that when they say, Pastor Banky, you just said it, that we the masses. Just bring this tape and say, you are owing me 100K. And I swear by Almighty God, I'll pay you. And you don't even bother. You know why? I have never said it. There are things I don't know how to say. I am too full of God to call myself mass. It's an insult on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to call me masses. You never read that I am a peculiar people. You never read that before. The God said you are masses. So you are a holy nation. A peculiar people. And he said, we the masses. No, I'm not mass nothing. I am a prophet of God. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. He said, he suffered no man to do them wrong. When policeman stops me on the road and wants to start talking, I say, oh boy, I am far from oppression. And I see one of the stood in front of policeman, they are trembling. I said that one of my friends came the other day. He said that the policeman obtained him of 7,000 naira for nothing. I said, one, you travel with 7,000 naira. You're a very rich man. I don't travel with 7,000 naira. Usually. I just put small money in my pocket. Where I get to, thank God for this modern day. Just carry your checkbook. So number one. Number two, for doing nothing, I give a policeman 7,000 naira. The man must be strong. And he cannot be as strong as me. And what I will tell him is, oh boy, I am far from oppression. If I give you 7,000 naira, you will pale with the progress of your family. You will never prosper if I give you that kind of money. How can you prosper? Because as I'm releasing it, I'm pouring all the judgment of God. You know, King, I was telling you yesterday that I think I'm a bit wicked. I told him, look, this is not like the guy talking to me is about 6'4". I was in a small fellow. We're in the same class in university, so he's the same educational level as I am. I said, look, it's the grace of God, and that's a fact. There is a grace upon me that makes me above oppression. I am far from oppression. Those are the kind of words you hear me speak. In this country, we don't die. We can die, but Banky, no, he will not die. You understand what I'm saying? Whoever is Mr. We, you understand? He can die, but I, no. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do you understand the point I'm making? I can never forget when I was in university, secondary school. Those days, after we finished our, those days we used to have form 1, form 2, to form 5. I finished form 3, then you drop most subjects and now concentrate on the 8 or 9 that you want to finish with. First term, we did physics and an additional mathematics, and we all failed. No, first time we did physics, that was from 4, and all failed. We had done general science. No, we did physics in form 3. We didn't fail like this. Then second time we did physics again, and all failed. And that time we did add maths with it also, and failed. So one of my friends said, look, how can somebody else be failing like this? No, he's not doing it again, no. He dropped it. Hey, the thing depressed my soul. So I called another of my friends. You know what he told me? I can't ever forget that. He said, look, that's our lecturer. Does he have two heads? I said, no, that is remarkable. The man has only one head. And we have one head each. I said, yes. He said, so we can do it. I said, yeah, man, we are right. He and I got A's in physics. The other fellow, he never did it. He didn't come near it. Because he told himself, I can't. We told ourselves, we could. The other guy's an engineer. I'm a doctor. That guy definitely didn't do physics. The third fellow, good enough, he didn't want to be an engineer, a doctor, so it doesn't matter. But the point I want to make from there is the fact that the guy said, I can't. Me and the other fellow said, yes, we can. You know the interesting thing? That was the last time we failed it. The third term, we ate it. Form 5, we just kept on eating it in. Exam, we failed. Quiz competitions were the two science boys. We sit down there, we're eating the thing. Why? Because we said we can. And we had an intense revelation. We suddenly noticed that the other man too has one head. It was a revelation. You don't know that. We never noticed. We thought he went around with seven heads. And the guy said, no, the other ones, now reflection from the mirror. It depends on the angle of the sun. The real head is one. I used to tell folks when I was in university, students, that's there, I was president of my fellowship. I said, listen, what are you studying? Whatever it is, an undergraduate course. All the books you have been given are undergraduate books. There is not one that you can't understand. I said, when you get to class, put the book down. I said, this book, you are an undergraduate book. I am undergraduate. That is, you are my book. That is, I am above you and you are beneath. I can understand you. And listen, these are spiritual things. It will open up and speak to you. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Let nobody ever tell you you can't. Tell them, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That is, I have the spirit of faith. I always declare what I believe. In fact, you know the interesting thing, most people have a spirit like that. But most of the time, their own is that of unbelief. That is, they tell them they can't and they voice it out that I can't. I tell myself, I tell everybody that depend on me, it will be well with you. Sometimes my wife is not around. I tell her, send her a text in the morning. Say, it is well with you in the name of Jesus. I don't have anything, but I just want to tell you it is well with you. Look, that's not a wish. It's not a prayer. You know, don't remember any prayer, just a wish. No. It's an empowerment to succeed. God told them, he said, thus you will bless the children of Israel. You will say to them, Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Say, you will say to them. Say, when you say it, my name will come upon them. and I will bless them. Do you get my point? That is, the words that you speak control what your life will become. You've heard me say it again and again, that can never be a poor man. Why? Because he said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I can never be a poor man. Poverty has heard it, and he knows, and he has avoided me. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
That is, the angels of God that carry wealth, they say, where is his house? He can never be poor. The Bible said they hearken unto the voice of God's word. It didn't say they hearken unto God. They are hearken unto what? The voice of his word. Any voice that opens up and speak what God is saying, the angels will always respond to it. And I told you the other time that when God has blessed a man and lifted him up, anything he says is a law. You know, that is, if my wife is traveling, I'll tell her, okay, go and come back. That is, you will. It's not like go, come, like a greeting. No, it's a commandment. You will go, and it will happen that you will return, and nothing will stop any of these processes from being accomplished. When she was going to deliver the last time, because I traveled, I wasn't sure that she would deliver before I come. I said, listen, we all that people come, go, and come back. Some go, they don't return. Some come back with all kinds of stories and complications. I said, you will go, and you will come back well. You know, she laughed and said, you pray funny. I said, yes, I have just given instructions. It is well with you. She thought I was good, but I wanted to travel. I left her in Benin that day. I was about to come. So I said, come, sit down. Just in front of the house. So she thought that I'll close my eyes. No. She was waiting for me to squeeze my face. I said, oh God in heaven, creator. No. I said, listen, my girl. I said, I dreamt. I told her one short dream. I said, listen. And now I'm telling you that where everybody goes, and some don't come back, some come back with all kinds of stories. I said, you will go gently and return gently. I said, it will be well with you, and it will be well with your child. She was looking at me to say, in the name of Jesus. I just said that and I stopped. She looked at me. Don't finish. I said, yes. She said, you pray very funny. I said, it's an instruction. I have just ordered some things. He confirmed that word. He will continually confirm the word of his servants. You know, I told you, I have to pray. Kids, I was warning you. Because the way I'm going in life, if I don't pray, I will be killing people rapidly. Because if somebody annoys me and I say, you will die, he will just collapse. So I'm praying, God, please help me with my mouth. Let me tell you the truth. Should I be honest with you? My plan for life, which I'm working on, and this, I can't go into details now, is that God will love me so much, if anything I say, you know, sun stand still, the sun not go move again. Now imagine, and I tell one thieving policeman that you are mad. You know, the guy will just remove his cloth, remove his trouser, and start moving up and down, because I just told him that he's mad. That's why I can't risk it with my child, telling you must be mad. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. He cannot be mad. Where? Madness imbo ko jejebe is not possible. Therefore, I will not say it. If his mother gives him phone and we are talking, he will smile. Bobo me, I say, yeah, it is well with you, Bobo me. You are the head and not the tail. You are a fine boy. Say, you marry a good wife like I married your mother. It's a blessing. You know, his wife is being manufactured somewhere. She'll be a good girl. The power of words. Listen, your words, if you like, you use it to describe where you are. Observe where you are and describe where you want to be. God looked at it. It is formless. It is void. Darkness upon the surface of the deep. What did he say? He said, light be. He said, son of man, can these bones live? Isaiah said, what is his name? Ezekiel. He said, I'm not sure. God said, let me show you the principle. Speak to it. Tell your bones, arrange. Tell the flesh, cover. Say, wind, come, blow into them. So that's how we are going to do it. Do you understand my point? That anything that appears dead in your life, give it the word. And continue to give it. You know, you won't say that maybe you are going one way. Your car moves in the wrong direction. What do? You turn the steering back. If you overcorrects, you move the steering back. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Why? Because you know where you want it to be. You won't say, this car is not obeying the steering. You know, you don't remember to say that. You keep on manning the steering. If you've ever driven maybe mud or sand, you know, you understand what I'm trying to say? The sand is trying to move your car, or the mud is trying to move the car in the wrong direction. As the force of the engine is coming, you take the steering, you turn like this, the car will turn its back instead of moving, But you don't stop steering just because the car is misbehaving. You continue steering, and eventually you will overcome. No, Bizo?
Yes.
If you are going to Onisha, and you get to Oka, and there is plenty of flood on the way, do you go to Bakaliki because of that? You overcome the flood, but you must go to Onisha. You won't go and say the bridge has broken, so we can't cross to Asaba. Let's just go to Port Harcourt. It doesn't work like that. If we are going to Lagos, we will face Lagos. That is, no matter what the circumstances look like, I will continue to speak the description of what I want it to become. Do you understand my point? I've said it again and again. I cannot look. It's not possible for me to be poor. It's not possible for me to die young. It's not possible for any of my children to be average. They won't be in class, and somebody would not say that they did not realize that that's Pastor Banky's son. That you will have known that when they said, who's your father? I said, father. They say, I should have known. Do you've been tearing these courses apart? I say, it's in my blood. No, it's in the genes. It's not my fault. That I have tried to fail. The failure did not come. Then people will now say, let me see how you read. No, they won't realize that before he was born, I said it. When he was born, I said it. Every day I kept on saying it. When he's not there, I say it. I use him to preach like I'm preaching now. And the spiritual forces are just congealing, waiting to explode upon him. What do you do with your tongue? Describe problems. God, you know, when God called Jeremiah, what did he say? Jeremiah said, you know I am a youth. He said, do not say. Do you know, the day that thing hit me, I realized that he wasn't telling him, stop complaining. He didn't say that. He said what? Do not say. That is, don't repeat the problem. I don't want to hear it. Open your Bible now. If you think I'm lying, you know I don't lie to you. If some people I don't lie to, it's the people I preach to. Jeremiah chapter 1. God said to him, verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say, let me start from 6. Then I said, when God told him what he was going to do with him, he said, then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. He said, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And next line says, all that I command you, you shall speak. That is, stop describing what the problem is. God said, I will make you rich so much that you will faint thinking about it. He said, but I come from a poor background. God said, don't say it. Everywhere you go, repeat what I have told you. All that I tell you, you shall do what? You shall speak. Do you get the point I'm making? People come and, you know, they want to explain to you why you won't do well. When they finish, you say, well, now let me tell you why I will do well. Don't let anybody get away talking nonsense over your destiny. No. Somebody talk rubbish. One day I was joking. I was talking about my children. Somebody said, have you ever heard of infertility? I said, children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. And blessed is the man that has a quiver full of them. I am blessed of God. He thought he was joking. You know, there are things I don't joke with. Erekere. You know what the Yoruba man calls Erekere? Rough play. No. How can we be joking? You are using knife. You are pushing into my chest. And you say it's a joke. If you want to joke with me, say, this is your head is so big. Look at that of a big man. That's a good joke. You understand my point? You say, I like this, your teeth. You want to take smile, finish everybody. That's a good joke. I like that kind of joke.
It's a blessing they increase for head. Wait. If not joke, stop her. Turn on to fight. So that we know how to tackle it. What kind of rubbish joke is that? Don't joke that kind of nonsense joke. Come on. Fun to joke. Joke with good things. Like those I used to teach my wife. I said, don't play disrespectful jokes with your husband, especially in public. It's not right. Don't jokingly pull your husband's ear in public. Don't ever, as a woman, don't ever do it. That hand, it will get Whitlow. You give you pain for 2 days, then you'll be forgiven. Like, what's the name of Moses' sister, Miriam? You get some kind of joke you're not supposed to play. I said, if you want to joke, I remember one of my friend's wives, because of something that happened, and she went to Lagos, and I helped arrange some things. So when she came back, when she saw me, she learned some Yoruba practice there. So when she saw me in church, she knelt down. Ah, good evening, sir. Now, that, she was joking. But you know, that's a good joke. You know, he knelt down to greet somebody she respects. That is a good joke. Don't go and play good joke. You want to play with your husband, you pull his ear in public. What? That hand, next time you fry the dough, you fry the tip. What rubbish joke is that? Come on, don't play. That's a bad joke, man. How can you want to joke with your child? You use car to run over his leg. Can you do that kind of joke? Hey, that's a bad joke. You want to joke with the child, you put him behind the steering wheel, two of you sit down there. No, so if two of you be joking, hey, like last time I was with my wife and the two little kids. No, I can only say, no, I want to carry baby. Okay, so I told him, go and carry baby. He was very happy. You carry baby. So you stay with him, he will sit down, you put baby on his leg, he tell you, baby, suck, suck. He will remove his shirt. That's a good joke. You understand my point? But if he say he wants to joke, he wants to put the baby's hand inside fire. You know, I will have given him 3 dirty slaps before I said that's a bad joke. Do you understand my point? No, you don't joke nonsense joke, man. You joke, good joke. Ha! And he say, ha! Kingsley, the way they talk, if you argue case, the judge at The Hague will faint. That's a good joke. Don't tell me, why are you talking like Mugun? That's a bad joke. That's a very bad joke. He learned to crack good jokes. You understand? He said, hey, the way they see you, when your car they pass later in this life, the road go close. That's a good joke. That is, maybe you'll be the president. That's a very good joke. He said, why they walk like a poor man? He said, don't say it again. If you say it again, you understand the point I'm making? Hey, let's walk in a manner pleasing to God. Because your words will determine where you will be tomorrow. Your words will form your destiny. What you are saying about yourself, I've heard people say all kinds of things. That, you know, women are very terrible. Those before I got married. I said, women, they are good. They are nice people. And that's how God gave me a very good wife. You know, I was praying for you last time, all of you, that God will bless you the way He blessed me. You know, there are women that their husband can't look at another woman, and their heart, they shake like this. They ask questions. My wife doesn't, it doesn't. She's such a good woman. As I have peace of mind. I can do ministry. God blesses you like that. You know, you will go far in life. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let anybody joke and say, see these girls, they are terrible. They are not. The Bible said there is a woman whose hands are snares, whose heart is a chain. The one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be enticed. Am I a sinner? I remember when I went and told my father that I wanted to get married. He said, I have prayed for you that you will marry a good wife. He didn't even ask who, where is she from? You know all those kind of questions. Dude, my father forgot to ask. I had to tell him that you haven't asked me where she's from. He said, don't worry, I pray that you marry a good wife. She cannot. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, because I prophesied long ago anyway that I will marry a good wife. No matter how hard I try, the bad woman, I will escape, Shan. I go escape. The day I'm going to see her, my leg will break. You know, something will just happen, Shan. You might be crying, say, Pastor Panky's leg broke. That babe, we're just about to go and catch her. Hey, leg break. A man of understanding will go and check the girl so that he too will avoid her, because he will know my leg broke because of that. You understand the point I'm making? So women are not bad. In the same manner, I've heard women talk that men are very terrible. Men are not terrible. I'm a wonderful person. Amen? Gozi, are you not a wonderful person? Jonathan, are you not wonderful? I can remember again, men are terrible. Men are not terrible. If you're a good person, God will deliver you from a terrible man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, always speak like that about your life. Speak positively. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about revelation thinking and revelation talking. He said, look, when they say, go and seek to, how do they say, Isaiah said again, go and consult mediums and say, look, let the dead people talk to dead gods. He said, how can the living be talking to the dead? He said, but you, what do? You go to the law and to the testimony and you speak according to those words. Because those that don't have light. Since you have light, you speak according to the words. That is, my speech always is guided by the testimony of Jesus. That, the Bible says, is the spirit of prophecy. Let us pray.